Shravate Vasudevaya. So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, Text Number 7. This is the prose section of the Bhagavatam. I'm just going to read the translation. Sometimes the living entity is interested in yellow stool, known as gold, and runs after it. That gold is the source of material opulence and envy, and it can enable one to afford illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, and intoxication. Those whose minds are overcome by the mode of passion are attracted by the color of gold. Just as a man suffering from cold in the forest runs after a phosphorescent light in a marshy land, considering it to be fire. Purport. Oh, sorry. Maybe I can sit on the cushion and get higher. Okay. I'll read the translation again then. Sometimes the living entity is interested in the yellow stool known as gold and runs after it. That gold is the source of material opulence and envy, and it can enable one to afford illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, and intoxication. Those whose minds are overcome by the mode of passion are attracted by the color of gold. Just as a man suffering from cold in the forest runs after a phosphorescent light in a marshy land, considering it to be fire. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada ki. Parikshit Maharaj told Kali Yuga to leave his kingdom immediately and reside in four places: brothels, liquor shops, slaughterhouses, and gambling casinos. However, Kali Yuga requested him to give him only one place where these four places are included, and Parikshit Maharaj gave him the place where gold is stored. Gold encompasses the four principles of sin, and therefore, according to spiritual life, gold should be avoided as far as possible. If there is gold, there is certainly illicit sex, meat eating, gambling, and intoxication. Because people in the Western world have a great deal of gold, they are victims of these four sins. The color of gold is very glittering, and a materialistic person becomes very much attracted by its yellow color. However, this gold is actually a type of stool. A person with a bad liver generally passes yellow stool. The color of this stool attracts the materialistic person, just as the will of the wisp attracts one who needs heat. So, Om Jnana Timurandasya Ganangana Salakaya Chaksuru Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Namaha Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Pastaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nevasesha Sunivadi Pastita Deshatarne Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. First of all, I want to, you know, beg for the blessings of all the devotees here so that I may serve you by saying something that is inspiring in Krishna consciousness and that will please my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. Actually, I was doing a little research on this class and I came across the verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita where Krishnadas Kaviraj is saying that he's just writing the Chaitanya Charitamrita for his own purification. And Srila Prabhupada was very emphatic in the purport, saying that, yes, this is the proper consciousness to have when we're preaching or when we're writing something about Krishna. We should be just for the pleasure of Guru and Krishna, and not for some material prestige or something like that. So today is actually a very wonderful day. It's the appearance day of Srivas Thakur, who's one of the Panchatattvas, considered the pure devotee, energy of the Lord. And it's also Sridhar Swami's disappearance day, who was a great commander in Srila Prabhupada's army. So after saying a little bit on this verse, we'll also talk about Srivas Thakur and Sridhar Swami. So here, Maharaj Sukadeva Goswami is talking to Maharaj Parikshit. And it's interesting that Srila Prabhupada, in the purport, brings up the pastime of Maharaj Parikshit, where he told Kali Yuga that he could reside in places where there is hoarding of gold. So most people want wealth. They're trying to get wealth. They think that it'll actually make them happy. I know, actually, I do. And sometimes when I'm spacing out and like driving for a long distance or something, I imagine, oh yeah, it would be nice to just find, you know, a big sum of money and then, you know, plan on how I would use it, and thinking that, well, this will you know, alleviate all my problems. You know, like if I had all this money, then I could be happy in so many ways and I wouldn't have all these problems. But actually, and we're learning here that wealth, if it's not used in Krishna's service, is a great cause of material attachment. Now, anything can be used in Krishna's service. You know, it is saying here that gold is like yellow stool and people are running after it. But Srila Prabhupada used to say the difference between him and Mayavadi sannyasis is that when people offer these Mayavadis some money, their hand kind of would recoil and they say, no, I don't want to touch money, I'll become contaminated. But if somebody would offer some money to Srila Prabhupada, he said his hand would go out and he would accept it. And he would use it in Krishna's service. And that's actually real renunciation. Rupa Goswami explains that if you renounce something that can be used in Krishna's service, that's incomplete renunciation. So all these things can be used in Krishna's service. And it reminds me of how everything can be used in Krishna's service. This is a story of Srila Prabhupada. I heard it in two different ways, basically the same story, but at two different times. One is in Giriraj Swami's book, where Srila Prabhupada was sitting at a darshan along with a lot of his sannyasi leaders, and they were talking about spreading Krishna consciousness. And Srila Prabhupada said, there are many women joining our ISKCON. And he looked around and he said, and you should never think, you know, how can I enjoy these women? But you have to think, how can I engage them in devotional service for Krishna? And in another time, a similar situation, Srila Prabhupada said, there are many beautiful women joining our ISKCON, and said the same thing. We should never think, you know, how we can enjoy them for sense gratification, but we have to think how we can engage them in devotional service. So this is a really beautiful answer for everything. Gold, you know, beautiful women, followers, anything that there may be. If we just have that consciousness, how to use it in Krishna's service, we'll become protected from all these influences. So, in another sense, everything belongs to Krishna. You know, gold. There's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita how someone should, Krishna is actually speaking, saying that you should see just a lump of earth or gold as the same. And if you can see like that, then you're free from the influence of the modes of material nature. So to see like that, you have to see that actually everything is Krishna's energy. Everything belongs to Krishna. But everything also has a use. So that's the art of devotional service, is knowing how to use things in Krishna's service. And actually, one time Srila Prabhupada said, some things can be best used by leaving them alone. So we need that distinction. We should have a good understanding from our spiritual master just how he wants things used in Krishna's service. So even Parikshit Maharaj, when he saw Kali Yuga beating the bull, breaking its legs, trying to break the last leg of truthfulness, Maharaj Parikshit, it's described he was driving a golden chariot. So this is an example how, you know, gold can be used. He was the king and he had a golden chariot. But he was there using that chariot to make sure that everything in his kingdom was peaceful and running according to these Krishna conscious principles. So that's, you know, an example of, even though he told Kali Yuga, you can go where there's hoarding of gold, you know, he himself was using gold in Krishna's service. And bhakti, or devotional service, Krishna prema, these things are much more valuable than gold. And of course, sometimes if I dream, oh, if I just had some more money in gold, you know, it would solve my problems. But actually, we already have the most valuable thing. It's the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's non-different from Krishna. It's the incarnation of Krishna in this age. Much more valuable than gold. And how much we should cherish it and really realize the value that what Srila Prabhupada has already given us. And we should be, you know, so grateful. Material things will never satisfy us. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he used to say that if a king offers you the benediction, you can have whatever you want, and you just say, oh, just give me a little salt. He said, it's so stupid. You know, they could give you so much, he's the king. But asking Krishna for material things is just like that. It's just asking for salt. But he can give you things that are much greater. We should be asking for devotional service. How can I serve you? You know, how can I serve the devotees? This is what is, you know, really valuable. And it also reminds me of a couple of stories of Srila Prabhupada, that when Srila Prabhupada came to New Vrindavan in 1974, was the first time that he took a little tour of the palace that was being built there for him so he could come and translate his books. And it was just a complete construction site, mud floor, you know, just block walls, just the beginning. But Srila Prabhupada was very, very pleased with it. And at one point, one devotee said, you know, Srila Prabhupada, this is supposed to be your palace, but, you know, it's described in the Krishna book that Krishna's palaces were illuminated with the jewels on the wall, so they didn't even need lights. They had so many jewels on the wall. And Srila Prabhupada just smiled, and he picked up his cane, and he waved it at devotees that were there. And he said, these devotees are my jewels. And it was, you know, Prabhupada didn't hesitate. He just came, you know, out with that, you know, expression of his heart, how much he was appreciating the devotees, and how much we should appreciate all these devotees, this devotee association. It's impossible to make any advancement in Krishna consciousness without the association of devotees. That's why Srila Prabhupada established ISKCON, so that there would be association of devotees. So we should also feel very much, you know, and just meditate of what we've already been given and be so grateful that we have the holy name. It's inconceivable how valuable that is, the association of devotees. It's, you know, inconceivable how valuable that is, and also these, you know, holy places that we can live. And another short story, that when Srila Prabhupada first came to Boston, not the first time he came to Boston, because actually he arrived in Boston, you know, in 1965, and he had visited a few times before this, but in 1971, when he came to Boston, we had considered that the temple wasn't really good enough for Srila Prabhupada to stay in, so this one life member volunteered to rent a hotel for Srila Prabhupada to stay in. And he rented the best hotel in Boston. It was the Four Seasons Hotel, the penthouse suite. And the devotees, they went there and they cleaned it, you know, scrubbed it completely spotless, put nice flowers, hung pictures of Krishna, you know, in anticipation that Srila Prabhupada was going to stay in this penthouse suite in this hotel. but when Srila Prabhupada came to the temple, he gave a lecture and he went to this room. Where the Brahmachari ashram was, we made the room for Srila Prabhupada to use while he was visiting the temple. And it was kind of late at night, and Satsarup Maharaj said, "Srila Prabhupada, it's getting late and we've rented a hotel for you to stay in." And Srila Prabhupada, his eyes got really big, and he said, "Hotel?" He said, "I'm not going." And everybody was like, you know, shocked, but very happy. And he said, "I'm not going." And he quoted a verse. And then he said the English. He said, "The country is in the mode of goodness, and the city is in the mode of passion." He said, "But a hotel is simply a brothel." He said, "I'm not going. I'm going to stay in the temple. The temple is Vaikuntha." You know, everybody went, "Jai." And so the two nights, Prabhupada stayed there like 3 days, but two nights. He just stayed in this one little room in the temple. They put a mat down on the floor, and he stayed there. And he was very happy to stay with his devotees and stay in the temple. And it was, for me personally, it was like a great lesson of how Srila Prabhupada really appreciated his temples and his devotees, that he wanted to stay with them. So there's so many like different stories about gold. Sanatan Goswami had a touchstone, which is a stone that if you touch things, you could, you know, turn it into gold. But he kept it in the rubbish heap. He didn't think it was, you know, very valuable. And there's one person who heard about that. Sanatan Goswami was a great, you know, saintly person. He had a touchstone. And he went and he asked Sanatan Goswami about this touchstone. And Sanatan Goswami said, "Oh yeah, I have it. You know, it's over there in the refuse heap." And this person was very happy to get this touchstone, and he could make gold. But then he started thinking, you know, if this is such a valuable thing, why was Sanatan Goswami just, you know, not even caring about it, you know, keeping it in the refuse heap? So he went back to Sanatan Goswami and he said, "Why were you keeping this, you know, touchstone like that? I think maybe you have something that's more valuable." And Sanatan Goswami said, "Yes, I have something much more valuable." And then he said, "Well, give it to me, you know, what is it?" And Sanatan Goswami said, "Well, first you have to throw away that touchstone." And of course he had faith in Sanatan Goswami, and he went and he threw it in the river. And then when he came back, Sanatan Goswami said, "Yes, very good. Now I can instruct you about pure devotional service." It's much more valuable than any material things like gold. And Srila Prabhupada also, he used to talk about this gold standard, which is like the whole monetary system now all over the world. And he said that this gold standard is simply cheating. He said they say they have an amount of gold, so they print some money, but actually they print way much more money than they actually have gold. He said that's the influence of this gold, of hoarding of gold. It just creates cheating. So people are getting cheated. And the better system is to have this barter where, like, you can't eat gold. It has no real, you know, value in itself. It's just because people are accepting it as valuable, they exchange it for certain things. But the Vedic standard is to have barter. It's grain, cows, land. That's, you know, real wealth. And all these things also you can use in Krishna's service. So, because it's Srivas Thakur's, you know, appearance day, I wanted to talk a little bit about Srivas Thakur. One of my favorite stories about Srivas is Lord Chaitanya noticed that he was a householder, but he never was doing any work. He was just simply worshiping Krishna, having kirtan. He was fully engaged in devotional service. So he asked him, he said, Srivas, I see that you're never working. How do you maintain your family and all your servants and everything? And Srivas Thakur, he simply clapped 3 times. And Lord Chaitanya said, you clapped 3 times. What is this? What does that mean? And Srivas said, if the first day no food comes, then I'll fast. And if the second day comes, and if Krishna doesn't send anything, I will also fast. And the third day, I will also fast. But if the fourth day, if nothing comes, then I will go and jump in the Ganges and drown myself. Because that would mean that Krishna would be a liar. And I couldn't tolerate that. Because he said, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that for one who is, you know, constantly devoted to him, he provides
what he lacks and deserves what he has. So if Krishna doesn't do this, then I would commit suicide. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased that Srivas had such faith that just by always engaging in devotional service, he didn't have to worry about his maintenance. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with that. And we learn from the scriptures that Srivas was an incarnation of Narada Muni. And it's interesting that Narada Muni is, of course, one of the great spiritual masters of this universe. He's very renowned. Brahmacharya is renowned, you know, traveling everywhere, preaching. But when he came to be at Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, he came as a householder, and he married, and he had children. And I was reading yesterday how, just like the gopis, when they heard Krishna's food, they gave up their, you know, husbands and so-called morality, and they immediately went to where Krishna was having his pastime so that they could satisfy Krishna. In the same way, Narada Muni, when he heard that Lord Chaitanya was having his pastimes, he gave up, you know, his so-called sannyas or brahmacharya, and he came to be the Lord's great servant, Srivas, which Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with. So this Srivas Anga, the place of Srivas, is considered non-different than the place where
Krishna had his Rasa Leela. So these nocturnal kirtans that Lord Chaitanya had were considered to be the equivalent or equal to the pastimes of Krishna having the Rasa Leela. And the way, it's interesting how the way that these kirtan started is that after Lord Chaitanya took initiation from Ishwara Puri, he started manifesting all these ecstatic symptoms. And even, you know, great devotees like Srivas and Advaita and Gadadhar, who had ecstatic symptoms themselves, they never saw such ecstatic symptoms that Lord Chaitanya was exhibiting. And a lot of the common people thought that, you know, Lord Chaitanya had some kind of disease like epilepsy, or maybe he was ghostly haunted because his ecstatic symptoms were so forceful and so extreme. And Mother Sachi, who was in, you know, a paternal relationship with Lord Chaitanya, she was worried, oh, you know, maybe something is wrong with Lord Chaitanya, and she was calling these different doctors and things, and some of them were prescribing, you know, put Vishnu oil on his head, or maybe you should tie him up, you know, different things, but all, you know, material remedies. But she thought, well, Srivas, and actually Srivas was about 30 years older than Lord Chaitanya, and him and his wife, Malini, were very close friends with Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi. And they were almost considered to be like second parents to Nimai Pandit as he was growing up. So when Srivas came and Mother Sachi called for him to diagnose what is, you know, Lord Chaitanya's disease, and when Srivas, actually Lord Chaitanya came and he said to Srivas, you know, when I see great devotees, you know, such as yourself, because actually when Srivas first came to his house, Lord Chaitanya was circumambulating Tulsi, and when he saw Srivas, he immediately fainted, you know, in ecstatic love and was rolling on the ground. And he got up and he actually said, you know, Srivas, you know, all these other doctors, they're saying that I have some kind of disease, and they're prescribing all this medicine. You know, what do you prescribe? And Srivas, you know, who's Narada Muni, pure devotee, he said, yes, actually, I see you have a great disease, and I want some of that disease. I also want that, because I see you have this great Mahabhava, this great love for Krishna, and I also want it. And Lord Chaitanya was very happy with that. He said, oh, thank you for that that diagnosis, because all these other material people were diagnosing me as having some sickness or something. And if that was the case, I was going to commit suicide by drowning myself in the Ganges. But Shiva said, no, most of the, you know, all these other people, they don't know that you have this, you know, extreme ecstatic love for Krishna. So why don't you come to my house? I have walls around my house, and we can have kirtan there, and you can exhibit your symptoms of ecstatic love, and nobody will be able to, you know, criticize you or, you know, misunderstand what your symptoms are. So from that, they started to have these kirtans, you know, all night long, kirtans at the house of Srivas Thakur. And Lord Chaitanya was so pleased by this service that Srivas was doing that all his servants, he said, even the dogs and cats in Srivas's house, they all got Krishna prema just by doing this service. And Krishna was so pleased. There was one servant, his Mataji, her name was Duki, and she used to carry water all the time for Srivas, his family, and so he could use for his worship and also for serving Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya said, what is the name of this servant of yours? And he said, oh, her name is Duki. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, Duki means unhappy. From now on, her name shall be Suki, because everybody in the house of Srivas will be happy with the devotional service. And there's many stories. One time, because Lord Chaitanya used to have these ecstatic kirtans all night long, and one time Lord Chaitanya started his kirtan and usually after like a half hour they would really take off. But this time he wasn't feeling the same ecstasy. This happened more than once. But this time he said, I'm not feeling the ecstasy. Maybe there's somebody hiding in the house, you know. What's going on? How come I'm not feeling my same ecstasy? And so he went looking everywhere and he couldn't find anything. And Lord Chaitanya started the kirtan again. And again he told Srivas, I'm just not feeling my same ecstasy. Somebody must be hiding in here. So this time Srivas Thakur searched through the whole house and he found that his mother-in-law was hiding under a basket because she wanted to see the dancing of Lord Chaitanya. And so Shiva said, why are you doing this? You're disturbing, you know, Mahaprabhu's ecstasy in his kirtan. And he grabbed her by the neck and threw her out. And Lord Chaitanya asked him, he said, did you find somebody, you know? And he said, yes. And I threw her out. And Lord Chaitanya said, who was that? And he said, I don't know who it was. I don't know her. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, I think that was your mother-in-law. You're supposed to respect your mother-in-law. And he said, anybody who causes you displeasure, I don't know. And Lord Chaitanya was very happy with that because Srivas's only happiness was Lord Chaitanya's happiness. And if anything caused Lord Chaitanya unhappiness, then he was very unhappy, and he would get rid of that. I mean, because usually in Indian society, your mother-in-law is considered like your mother, and you're very respectful. But here, just for Lord Chaitanya's pleasure, you know, he took her by the neck and threw her out. And Lord Chaitanya was very pleased with that.
During these kirtans actually happened every day for a whole year. After a year, then he went to Chankazi's house and he brought the kirtan out of the streets and everything. One time,
they were having kirtan, and Srivas Thakur noticed that, you know, some of his family members were all sad, and he went over there and inquired, and he said, well, your son has just died. And so, and Srivas's son had just died. He said, well, that's all right. You know, it's actually very glorious that he died in our house where Lord Chaitanya is having kirtan. But don't be sad, and whatever you do, don't disrupt Lord Chaitanya's kirtan. So and the kirtan went on, and then in the morning when it usually stops, Lord Chaitanya said, Srivas, I can understand that some calamity has happened in your house. You know, tell me, what's happened? And Srivas Thakur said, oh, you know, nothing. And one of the other people said, oh, actually, Srivas' son has died. And Lord Chaitanya said, what? Why didn't you tell me? And Srivas Thakur said, because, my lord, you were having ecstatic kirtan, we didn't want to disrupt your ecstasies that you're having in your kirtan. And Lord Chaitanya said, so please take me to your son. So his son was lying on a table, dead. And Lord Chaitanya put his hand on his chest, and he said, why did you leave the house of Srivas Thakur? And immediately he sat up, and he said, my lord, due to my karma, I've taken birth in this particular body. And by your will, I stay here for a certain amount of time. And then by your will, I go to another body. But this time, upon leaving, I was actually very happy because I had taken, my birth in the house of Srivas Thakur. And all the people that were there were amazed at this pastime of Lord Chaitanya, how he brought back the son of Srivas Thakur. But then the son said, so with your permission, if you want, you know, I will go. And he died again. But And it's also significant that when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is describing all the branches of Lord Chaitanya's tree, the first branch he describes is Srivas Thakur. And he describes the branch as Srivas Thakur and his brother, and they didn't know any other happiness besides Lord Chaitanya's happiness, and they knew no other god or goddess except for Lord Chaitanya. That's how, you know, Krishnadas Kaviraj described him, that his only, you know, focus in life, his worship of the Lord, was just Lord Chaitanya and how to please him. So today is the very auspicious day of Srivas Thakur's appearance day. Also, kind of running out of time here, it's also the disappearance day of Sridhar Maharaj, who was, like I said, a great commander in Srila Prabhupada's army, a great preacher. He was also known as the Jolly Swami, and he was a very ecstatic person. Personally, I didn't have a lot of association with him. You know, I saw him at different functions. He was always happy, always, you know, inspiring a lot of devotees in devotional service. But I just remember one time when, in New York City, I happened to be in the post office, and there was a big line, and I was, you know, had been waiting in line for a long time. And I was just looking out the window, and the streets were deserted at that time. But all of a sudden, Sridhar Maharaj came walking around the corner, you know, with his dhoti blowing in the wind and his sikha, you know, with a fresh shaved head. And he was walking kind of fast. And he just looked so transcendental to be walking in New York City. Nobody else was around. And I remember in line, I wanted to go, you know, say Hari Bol to him, but, you know, I didn't want to lose my place in line. But he was just like that. He was very ecstatic, very bright-faced, jolly, and a very expert preacher in devotional service. So there's a note here that says that I should end by 8:45. Are there any questions or comments, corrections? Actually, I think my dear wife wants to say something. Yeah, you heard something from Pankajungri. Mike? Also reading yesterday, one place it says that Srivas is usually depicted with folded hands, you know, in the Panchatattva, and it was described that his mood is, don't worship me, worship, you know, all the others. So he's always has that humble position. Read that yesterday. So are there any other questions? Comments?
Yes. Okay. Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your lecture. I just remember that each Panchatattva gives a special blessing, and Srivas gives the blessing of Shudanam. So we can also beg for Shudanam to be qualified one day. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Sure. sleeps in this, the man with all the gold and all the money, and the man that sleeps on the train station in Paris station. Have you heard this one? The man that's sleeping, he has no money and nothing, and he just goes to sleep on Harrah station, and he sleeps like, very, you might have seen them.
Yeah.
And the man that has all the money all night is thinking, you know, what to do with this and protect it.
Yeah. That's true. Well, she was saying that who sleeps the best, you know, somebody who has lots of gold, or the person who just sleeping on the train station, the Calcutta train station, and it's the person who doesn't have so much, he sleeps better. Radhanath Maharaj was saying that. Yeah, comment?
I have a quick,
sure.
Quick story. I had someone that introduced me to Krishna consciousness, and they were earning their money. I'm not even sure.
They were earning their money illegally. So they were so excited to go to Vrindavan, and they were going to give Prabhupada a big donation. So, you know, I was thinking, this just doesn't sound right. You know, he's just going there. I mean, it was great that he was going to Vrindavan, but he was thinking, you know, I'm going to give Prabhupada's recognition. I'm going to give him a big donation. So Prabhupada was on the Vyasa side, and this aspiring devotee wasn't initiated. He was aspiring in Krishna consciousness. He wound up never being initiated, but he had a big wad of money, and he came up behind Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada, without even looking at him, he put his right hand out, took the money, put it in his pocket, and never even looked at him.
Yeah.
So you say, geez, Prabhupada didn't even acknowledge me. And I thought, yeah, that's because he knew that that's what you wanted. You know, that you wanted some recognition, you know, but he also is not going to leave. He's going to engage this because you're offering in Krishna's service. So I always got a big kick out of the story because, you know, it was just the reverse of the result that he wanted. But Srila Prabhupada was always anxious to engage everything in Krishna's service.
Yeah. Just a little differently, but it reminds me of a story that Hamsa Duda told me. He said that, you know, he had been preaching in Germany, and he had made, you know, like 30 new devotees, and, you know, he was really happy about that, and he came to see Srila Prabhupada in his room, and he said, "Oh, Jai Srila Prabhupada, you know, we just wanted to let you know that, you know, we just made 30 new devotees in Germany." And Prabhupada said, "You didn't make any devotees. Krishna sent them." And then Hansa Duda said, he actually said to Srila Prabhupada, he said, "Well, if Krishna just sends them, why are we working so hard?" And Prabhupada looked at him and he said, "What else would you do?" But, you know, the idea is, you know, we don't really do anything. Krishna is really the doer, and we can desire. And then, you know, Krishna is just doing those things. We can become the instrument, but we can't take any of the credit. Okay, so thank you very much. Hare Krishna.